This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
You know what we're going to do? We're going to start with rookies of the year in the ACC. And we're going to start on the offensive side of the ball. Okay? You ready?
By the way, before you go, before we get to drum roll, this very moment, tomorrow,
Brent Pry,
we're going to Blacksburg. ACC fans get a chance to see the new Virginia Tech football coach right here on ACC Network.
There you have it.
All right, now that's it.
ACC Offensive Rookie of the Year. Are you going to be surprised?
No.
I don't think so.
Easy.
This guy, sidearm, you betcha. Set him up, knock him down. Tyler Van Dyke, the man with an array of nicknames. I mean, put on a show. Now remember, 62% completions, nearly 3,000 yards, 25 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. Whoa.
I'm telling you, man, you get ready for 22, Miami fans. I know you're ready to see this guy because 9 is going to be slinging it. And when you start hearing about the preseason hype of the 22 season, guys to keep an eye on, Heisman stuff, all that. This is the guy right here.
All right, Tyler Van Dyke. Congratulations. He's the ACC's Offensive Rookie of the Year. The ACC Defensive Rookie of the Year comes from the league's best defense. And it's a young man in the secondary for the Clemson Tigers. Andrew Makuba wins the honor.
Oh, number one can play.
Yep.
Speed, great instincts. He is going to be another star in the making right here.
Yep. Great ball skills, great pursuit, and somebody to keep an eye on right there.
He's an amazing story, too, by the way. Mm-hmm. We'll get into that later, but, man, just an incredible sidebar story about how he got to this country and decided to play a little football, and Dabbing the boys found that guy down there in Texas and said, you know what, you can play for us. He's going to be a great player.
Yep. All right, let's move on to the Player of the Year honors. We'll start on the offensive side of the ball. I don't think anybody's surprised here.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think any of these are stunners.
Right.
I really don't.
Well, if you thought it would be two gloves, Kenny Pickett, you're right. The Pittsburgh quarterback who set single-season marks for the Panthers in passing yards and touchdowns. I mean, when you throw for 4,000 yards, 40 scores, and have a passer rating of 166.7, you're doing a lot right. And congratulations to Kenny Pickett. He is the Offensive Player of the Year in the Atlantic Coast Conference.
And a great story because, you know what, he could have said adios. I'm going to go to the National Football League, decide to come back. We've talked about this a bunch.
Right.
He's the all-time leader of student-athlete appearances on our show. And he's got one more to play this weekend looking for an ACC championship.
Yep. The Defensive Player of the Year is a transfer. Young man who arrived at Florida State and helped kind of revitalize who they were defensively, even on opening night against Notre Dame. Jermaine Johnson II from Eden Prairie, Minnesota, is the ACC's Defensive Player of the Year. He had 11.5 sacks and 70 tackles for Florida State this year and just dominated the game almost from snap one on opening night, Pack.
Number 11 was a problem for everybody in the league and on the schedule.
Yep.
Terrorized everybody.
Jermaine Johnson, by the way, set to join us coming up at 9:15 this morning. And looking forward to that, too. Let's see if we can show you some of the rundown on this. The voting on this, I thought, was really interesting, especially as it relates to Player of the Year. That became a big conversation piece, you know, about Kenny Pickett, Sam Hartman, Brennan Armstrong, Sam Howell, Devin Leary. Let's show you the Player of the Year. And the Player of the Year in the ACC is Kenny Pickett. So the ACC's Player of the Year, the overall winner as the Player of the Year, is the Pittsburgh quarterback who outdistanced Brennan Armstrong and Sam Hartman, who followed in second and third place.
I'm not surprised by any of these. I'd love to give you a retort and say, oh, that's controversial, but it's not. Guy was fabulous.
Yeah.
And Pitts, like I said, playing this weekend for a title.
And again, when called, this guy's been sensational. Mark mentioned the ability to come back. I think the other storyline in this is the next couple years, how many times will we hear guys refer to the Kenny Pickett move to come back that influenced perhaps their story?
I hope it becomes a trend.
Yeah.
And I say that selfishly because I love college football. And, you know, it's your life. You can go figure it out. And you want to chase the money, you can go for it. But the money was there for Kenny Pickett. And he's like, no, you know what? It can wait. I think it's refreshing. Easy guy to root for.
Here is the rundown. As you can see, the player of the year voting. Kenny Pickett won this going away. He had 52 votes, followed by Brennan Armstrong with 5, Sam Hartman 3, Jermaine Johnson and Drake Thomas each had 2. That is a dominant player of the year number.
I think, too, winning as a team ties into this, too.
Right.
I mean, it's part of it. I mean, I think it's one of the reasons you see Sam Hartman up there. I would have thought Sam might have gotten a few more votes, to be honest with you.
Right.
Brennan Armstrong's numbers this year were phenomenal. However, when you don't win a game after October 23rd, I do think that is a trickle-down effect. Plus, he was injured and banged up. He missed the Notre Dame game.
Right.
But it's hard to argue against Kenny Pickett. I mean, seriously. I mean, you can have the pom-poms out for whatever team you love and whatever your favorite player is, but Kenny Pickett put together one of those magical runs, not only from an individual standpoint, but also their team. They win 10 games for the first time since 1981. Mm-hmm. I got news for you. Your quarterback has to be really good for that to happen.
The ACC's Rookie of the Year is also a quarterback, and it is Tyler Van Dyke of Miami who captured this honor. We told you earlier about his numbers and the phenomenal streak of 300-yard and 3 touchdown games for Van Dyke. Van Dyke wins this honor over Will Shipley of Clemson, who finished second. Andrew Makuba was third and tied for third with Deuce Chestnut of Syracuse.
Deuce had a great year, too.
Yep.
For the Cuse. There's no question. Again, all those four guys, you're going to hear their names a bunch the next couple of years. But that, to me, that's a no-brainer. TVD was the easy, easy answer to that one.
Jermaine Johnson coming up here in about 8 minutes or so. Tyler Van Dyke, bottom of the hour, live with us. And our congratulations to all the winners.
The last time Jermaine Johnson was on the show, we talked. I mean, he made his debut on the program.
Right.
3-4 days later, he scored a touchdown in Death Valley.
Yeah. He had the Packer and Durham effect.
I mean, Servassier, and all these guys that showed up on the program.
NC State cross country benefited from your presence.
TVD comes on the show, right, after the NC State win.
Just continues.
How'd that work out for
your presence, their presence with you.
No, it's got no. It's a show thing. It's not a me thing. It's a show thing. I'm just saying, the bump from the program, it happened this year on this program. And I'm telling you, student-athletes showed up on this show. Ta-da, W's.
You know, I really do think you probably need some sideline access on Saturday because both teams are going to want you around because clearly when you were around the NC State cross-country team, that buoyed them to the national championship.
Truth in that.
So now I got to believe that Pitt and Wake Forest likewise are thinking if we could get Packer around our team a little bit before the game.
I do bring that to the
game. Now, that vibe?
If you're going to take me down the side, I'm not a sideline guy.
Oh,
I don't like.
Yeah, you are.
No, I'm not. But if you'd like to get me down there, you better bring the Chariot of Champions to get me there. I need an entrance if you're going to go that stupid. I'd rather be up in the crowd.
Is that where you are?
That's where I like to be.
Up in the crowd, yeah.
I used to have tickets. You know, I bought those PSLs for the stadium when they opened them.
Did you? Got a PSL?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was up there in section 541.
541?
I was on the upper deck.
Were you Kannapolis watching the game?
Well, I mean, for like $7,500, I thought that was a great investment. A year later, I realized it's not a great investment.
Well, you had money then, didn't you?
That's all I had.
I know.
Put them all out there. I don't mean literally. That's all I had.
Not
anymore.
I bought
a PSL.
Big houses and big cars.
Yeah, okay, donut.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
We're bringing in some real star power, Wes Durham.
Yeah. We're going to take this to Tallahassee, Florida, and the ACC's Defensive Player of the Year joins us this morning, and that is Jermaine Johnson II of Florida State, who was with us a few weeks ago. And as you duly noted, Pack, he was with us. And then 3 days later, the influence of your presence, he got a strip sack fumble and a touchdown at Clemson.
I don't think it's just a coincidence. It's happened to so many players that come on this show, Jermaine. They make their debut. Next thing you know, they're in the end zone. They're dancing and celebrating. In fact, we were at the game, Florida State Clemson, and when you scored, I said, you know, he was on the show this week. I said, all those Clemson fans around, I said, you know, he was on the show this week. And they couldn't believe it. But first of all, though, congratulations. I know this has been, you took the risk. You say, hey, listen, I'm going to transfer. Florida State felt like home. Let's go play some ball. And man, did you perform. So, man, everything that comes your way, you've earned it. So, congratulations.
Thanks, both of you guys. And you said what? It rubbed off on me? That's why I scored?
I'm just saying, I don't know what your next step is going to be, but maybe a week before the draft, we'll get you back on here. Some crazy good stuff will happen to you again.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. No, but thank you. I'm very fortunate to be in this position. And, I mean, I couldn't thank anyone more than my teammates and the staff and the program. So I feel extremely blessed. And, you know, it's a little bittersweet. It's over. But, I mean, I just feel like I left it all on the field and off the field, really, for this program. And I hope at the end of the day they could say the same. So, I mean, I just feel extremely blessed and can't be any happier.
Jermaine, there is something about not only on-field production but off-field leadership. And I heard Mike Norvell talk about this a couple of weeks ago, and you had been with us prior to, so I want to get your thoughts on this. He spoke at length, I think, about not just what you've done on the field, but what you've done locker room-wise, leadership-wise, workout-wise to make this program better. In your mind, was that a priority? Was that a checklist thing for you? If I go to Tallahassee and I leave Athens, I'm going to go play this 1 year. I want to figure out how I can make Florida State better. And yes, it's about winning and being successful, but also making long-term the program better.
Yeah. I mean, it's bigger than just football and on the field play. I always say, I mean, it could have been easy for me to just come in here and just be selfish and quiet, not speak up, you know, stay in the middle of lines and drills, just make sure I was straight and go out there, play well, and leave. But, you know, that's not what I wanted to do at all. I wanted to come in here and be a leader for these guys and really just be the example. Like, I'll do the hard work and hopefully people see it and want to follow. So, you know, I'm just glad I was in this position. My teammates put me in this position. They trusted me to lead them. As well as other teammates. So I'm just glad I was able to help lead this team. And, I think that was a big thing for me and the coaches coming in. Coach Norvell and I talked before I got here. And you know, that was one of the things that he was looking for in me. And, you know, that was also one of the things I promised him I would come be as a leader and lead by example and help turn this thing around off the field. So, I mean, I'm just happy. I'm blessed I was in this position. And hopefully that all the coaches and staff can say that, you know, I delivered off the field just as much as I did on the field.
Jermaine, I know you wish you had at least another game left, but you don't. So what's next? Well, I mean, I know the process is the NFL draft and getting your body ready, but so, like, what do you do between, like, now and Christmas time? Do you take some time away, or is it even more intense training? Where do you go?
I mean, I think as much as a competitor I am, I want to just hop into it. But I know that's probably not the smartest idea. You know, I had a long season, so you know, I'd give my body a little bit of rest and then finish out school strong and get that degree and then ultimately enjoy the holidays with my family. And then after that, I mean, it kind of just snowballs, so everything will roll into another. So I'll have to begin training and and then everything else after that. It's going to be real hectic. So, you know, I got some advice just to relax and get my head clear because this next year is going to probably be the most hectic year I've had involving football. So,
yeah, no, it's a long season. And as you're well aware, it's a business. And I want to ask you about the business of college football. A lot has been discussed during this interesting year because of the bonus year that many players had. Some took advantage by changing location like you did. Others stayed the course. Others, because of a coaching change, made a move. Can you speak to the experience that you've had and where it made you a better player, maybe even a better person, Jermaine, as a player?
Yeah. I mean, it kind of ultimately came down to what I thought I was as a player and what I thought I could offer, you know, as a person. I knew I wanted my college career to be, you know, legendary in a sense. I knew I wanted to leave a mark on a program, and Coach Norvell and staff gave me that opportunity. And like I always say, I hope out their mouths they can say I delivered. I just can't really say anything. I feel extremely blessed, and you know, I'll be a Seminole for life, and I can't wait to come back and visit and see how these guys are doing. Because I mean, these are my brothers at the end of the day, that's kind of like my college career coming to an end, and it's crazy when you think about it, because it feels like I was just in Independence, Kansas, playing my first junior college game, and now, you know, I'm done. So it's kind of wild. It's a wild journey I've been on, and I really haven't thought back on it because, you know, I've been so focused on, you know, achieving goals and whatnot. But, you know, I think these next couple weeks I'm going to be doing some reflecting, and you know, it'd be an emotional time because it was a hell of a run.
You know, Jermaine, what's cool is, and Wes and I can speak from experience here, because this is the cool part for us, is to have interaction with the student athletes. And you're talking as if I've come to the finish line, but quite frankly, it's just the opposite. Yeah. You're getting ready to start and your path, and everybody's got their own separate individual journey and path. And yeah, you'll have a chance to reflect and look back, but man, I think that your future is so bright that you're going to look back and go, oh yeah, I remember Florida State. I mean, it's going to go by so fast, you can't believe it. But to me, the best part's right ahead for you. I mean, you've now made yourself a household name. Everybody in the National Football League knows who number 11 is at Florida State. And while you get your body healthy and you get that degree, which is certainly important, man, you're going to get to January 1, and I think you're just going to be blown away. But, man, I can't wait to get to work, because – you've always come across with us when you've been on with us as somebody that says, hey, you seem grounded, you understand it, big picture. But, man, you're not coming to the finish line, my man. You're getting ready to get to the starting point. And I'm excited for you, because I think you've got a great, great future.
Thank you. Thank you. It means a lot.
I will bring you up to date on one thing you probably need to know. The high temperature in Eden Prairie, like over the weekends, like in the 20s, and it's 50-some degrees with a high of 71 in Tallahassee. So, look, I'm not telling you what to do, man, but, you know, process of elimination says you go home, you might need a coat.
Yeah, I spent the last 5 years in the South, so I think I've gotten acclimated to this temperature and stuff. So I think I'm going to need a couple coats when I go back home. And when you fly in that plane into Minneapolis, you'll feel it immediately once you hit Minnesota, so... I'm excited to get back home, you know, be with my family, be able to sit down. And because, I mean, it wasn't just me that made this possible. My family has made countless sacrifices for me to be in this position. So it's going to be great to just enjoy the holidays and just be thankful, you know, and just be around each other.
All right. We talk about the business of football here real quick. I want to close on this. You said it's going to be hectic. Just kind of, and this is why this next 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks is probably pretty important for you, just to relax and get to, you know, get your body feeling better on a consistent basis, things like that. Because come January, you basically go into the business of football. You now become, without being drafted, a professional football player come January, right? And then it's the training, the workouts, the combine, on-campus stuff, the individual meetings. I mean, it truly becomes the business you've always wanted to be in, right?
Yes, sir. I mean, yeah, I'm prepared for that, to be honest. I mean, in junior college, it was pretty much all on me to make whatever happened. You know what I'm saying? It was a kind of low structure. So, I mean, I'm used to being on my own and being able to make mature decisions. I'm making sure I'm ready for things. So, you know, I'm aware of how hectic and kind of on my own, in a sense, I'll be. And you know, I'm ready for that. But like you said, I'm just going to relax, enjoy my family, and just, you know, get ready for that.
Have you thought about what the NFL draft's going to be like? Huh? I mean, can you hear your name being called and by which team? Have you thought that or not?
I haven't. I'm not sure. I always thought it would be cool to go back home, kind of full circle deal. But, no, I haven't really thought too in depth. You know, I'm just, you know, it's a dream to be in the league, and something I dreamed about for so long and I was aiming at for so long, and sometimes you kind of forget what you're aiming at because everything else just kind of fades in with that. So, you know, now that kind of some of that stuff has faded out the way, you know, it's kind of a tunnel vision thing and it's right there and it's pretty surreal. But, you know, I'm pretty sure it'll be even more surreal on draft day. So, you know, I'm feeling blessed and, you know, the best thing I can do is glorify the gifts God gave me. Yeah.
Well, it was a joy to watch you play in a Seminole uniform, and we are really, really looking forward to watching you play on Sundays.
Yes, sir. Thank you both.
Hey, Jermaine, how close is the Vikings practice facility in Eden Prairie to the house? Just, you know, just in case that works out that way.
Actually, the old Vikings facilities used to be like 5 minutes down the road. They used to be in Eden Prairie.
Yeah.
They actually just relocated to Eagan, and that's about 30 minutes. It's not too bad.
That's not good. That's not good. You can go somewhere else now. That's not that close.
Yes, sir.
Hey, take care, all right? Great. Congratulations. We look forward to following your next step, okay?
Yes, sir. It's an honor. Thanks, guys.
All right. Stay in touch. Jermaine Johnson of Florida State's the ACC Defensive Player of the Year. He is a fantastic football player.
Yeah.
But here's the thing we've come to find out during the course of the year. He might be even a better leader and a pillar for what Mike Norvell was looking to build. And at this point, that may be his impact.
Well, you can tell just in the 10-minute interview we just had, even the first time we had him on the show back in October, the way he conducts himself,
yep.
I mean, there's just certain people, student-athletes that you run across on this show, that you can just tell have that natural, innate ability to lead, right?
Yep.
And just they get it. And that guy right there gets it.
Yeah, he does.
And there's no doubt that Mike Norvell wishes he had about 75 more number 11s walking around the building.
All
guarantee
right.
you.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Award winners.
Yeah.
No, not us. No. I mean,
no.
Really, award winners.
Yeah, like real awards.
Yeah.
Not ones we just fictitiously kind of create for.
No, we didn't know that. Well, I got the real
That's got tape on it, and it's not real.
All right. Say All right. what you want.
Off to South Florida we go. Coral Gables, hello. Here's the ACC's Rookie of the Year. Tyler Van Dyke joins us this morning. First of all, congratulations. This is quite a story. Is it one of those maybe, you know, hopefully I don't wake up deals for you? I mean, what's it been like, man? This thing has been just a blur of success.
Yeah, it's been crazy. It's been a crazy year. You know, just a lot of highs, a lot of lows. I mean, starting at the position I was at in the beginning of the year, not playing at all, not getting any serious snaps. I mean, just coming into it. I mean, I struggled a little bit in the first couple games, but after that, I told myself just go out and play with confidence, and my teammates just had me the rest of the way and just supported me, and all the coaches supported me, so I'm very grateful for that.
Tyler, I'm not going to put any pressure on you, but this is your second appearance on our show. Kenny Pickett has the record of all student-athletes. He's been on the show a half dozen times. I'm going to make the prediction right now on December the 1st. Of 2021. By the time you decide, hey, I'm done with college football and I'm going to go to the National Football League, I think you're going to obliterate Kenny Pickett's record on this show.
Tyler, I disagree because I think you'll just get sick of us and say, I'm not doing it anymore.
No, because I've said before that before you came on, I said, TVD is getting ready to be a superstar and it's going to begin in the 22 season. People are going to say, man, have you seen that Miami quarterback? He is slinging it all over the yard, putting up crazy numbers. It's coming, my man. So you need to prepare for it because this award is just the start of many coming your way. Because, man, you have absolutely thrilled everybody. I mean, every week it's 350 and three touchdowns. It's 390 and four touchdowns. I mean, you're making it look easy, and I know it's not.
Yes, sir. I mean, we'll see how many times I come in here. I like talking to you guys. So, I think the whole year, I mean, it was just confidence for me, just going out there, doing what I do best, just letting the ball rip, giving our guys chances down the field and letting the receivers make plays. So I'm very grateful for, the line protecting me and the receivers making plays for me.
All right, so what's the mindset? You've said this now a couple times. I just going out there making plays, letting it rip. I mean, do you have the mentality of, hey, once I throw it, hey, it's on to the next play? Because whether we score, whether I throw a pick, it's incomplete, whatever, you almost have the mindset of, hey, next man up, let's go.
Yeah, I do. I really, throughout the year, that mindset changed for me to that mindset, you know. So I, in the beginning of the year, I would have trouble moving on to the next play, and I think that's why I struggled a little bit, especially in the North Carolina game in the beginning of the game. Just I threw two interceptions the first half, and it just really got to me, I guess. And after that, I told myself, just go out there, just play. Who cares how many interceptions you throw? Who cares if you have an incomplete pass or a bad throw? Just go out there, have fun, and do what you've been doing your whole life.
Tyler, how much of what has happened for you individually do you think has kind of amplified the team, enthused the team in terms of the way you guys played down the stretch?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit, but I think it goes the other way, too. I mean, my teammates really brought me up this year and really helped me gain that leadership role on the team. I got a lot of guys like Mike Harley, Cam Harris, Rambo. I just have done a great job of helping me come into this leadership role and supporting me throughout the way. And, yeah, the defense, too, has played really well in the last stretch, and I think that really ramped our offense up and just let us go play out there with a lot of just have fun out there and just co-play. So I think it goes both ways.
All right. Now, the defense has hung the nickname TV Dinner on you. Now, we've heard TVD. We've heard Tyler Van Dimes. What's the TV Dinner? Where in the world that come from?
That came from Gilbert Frierson, number 3. He just started calling me that. I think it was after either the Virginia game or the North Carolina game. They just started calling me that. So a lot of guys in defense call me that now, so I guess I got to roll with it.
Do you have one you like?
I mean, I really could care less. I mean, I like all of them, so whatever you guys want to call me, whatever anyone wants to call me, I'm good with it.
All right. I said this on Monday's show. I think that there's a lot of 21, obviously, still to play for. The end of the season, you guys have played well. I know you want to do well in the postseason. But there's also something about the bowl game you're going to play that could be a launch point for 22. Has anything been said in the last week about, hey, the postseason game can be a little bit of both for us? And in your mind, does it lead to what 22 could be for Miami?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, we looked at after we lost the Florida State game and we knew our chances for the ACC championship game was pretty much over with. We really looked at it like, yeah, we're really ramping this thing up for next year, you know. So, and those two games went well, and the offense played well, the defense played well. So we're going to look at this game as another opportunity for that and really start ramping up into the next season. So,
Tyler, what's the one thing you need to work on for 22?
I mean, this offseason, I'm really just going to work on getting my body right, eating healthy, try to work on my mobility a little more. I mean, I have a little bit of it, but I think I can really hurt some defenses if I use my feet a little bit more. So, and obviously just watching more film, making a little smarter decisions, not forcing the ball. So, yeah, pretty much is that.
Well, and you also understand, too, and the news here this week that that Rhett Lashley's going to head to SMU as their head coach. Certainly that changes the dynamic for you. There'll be somebody new to that position. You go through that kind of iteration for the first time, too, right? So there's that transition piece for you, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really happy for Coach Lashley. That's a great opportunity for him at SMU and to be a head coach. I know he's always wanted to be a head coach, so I'm really happy for him. I think it'll change a little bit of the dynamic of play calling and stuff like that. But, I mean, I have a really good trust in all the other coaches here, and we feel really good about it. And, I mean, the players got to make the plays on the field. So, I mean, we're all still playing, so we're going to go out there and just do what we do.
Tyler, I used to live down in Miami, and so I get it. I understand the whole star treatment, and it's a city that loves stars. Have you sensed just walking around campus, maybe you're going out every now and then to see what's going on down there in South Beach, Folks starting to recognize TVD a little bit walking around in public or not?
A little bit, yeah. I'll be walking around campus. People want to take a picture of me or whatever. But or when I go out to the golf course, a lot of people recognize me, video me hitting the golf ball. So I guess that's pretty cool.
By the way, how's the golf game?
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. Played the other day. I think I shot 77. So
whoa,
it's still improving.
So you're carrying a little stick, are we?
Okay.
Got a little stick.
All right. Sneaky Connecticut guy goes to Florida to school, and he's busting 80 in November. I like it, right?
That's nothing wrong with it. Guy's going to be a star. I keep telling you, Durham.
Let me tell you something, Tyler. I got an idea. Why don't you take that ACC Rookie of the Year award and just strap it to the front of the cart next time you go down there to put a peg in the ground, all right? Just let them know when you pull up on the first tee, boys. Right. You're dealing with hardware, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. Hey, congratulations again. It's been awesome to watch this story unfold. We look forward to following you in the offseason. And stay healthy, and we'll see you in the bowl game.
And remember, TVD, Kenny Pickett has set the standard.
Oh, geez.
All right? You got a couple more years. I think you're going to break the record. That's just my opinion. So we look forward to seeing you back here multiple times.
All right. Sounds good.
Take care, Tyler. Thanks very much. Happy holidays.
All right.
Miami will get their
bowl. Have a good one.
You bet, man. Miami gets their bowl destination coming up either Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday of next week. Canes will find out where their postseason destination is, and he will be a focal point.
Oh.
A focal point of not only that game, but the 2022 college football season. When we come back, we're going to focus on a little bit of what is going on with basketball. Quick reminder to you, that while the men's ACC Big Ten Challenge presented by Continental Tire has been underway, the women get underway tonight. So we've got ACC Women's Hoops better than ever. Big Ten ACC Challenge here on this channel. Number 18, Ohio State visits the Dome to see Syracuse. 8 o'clock tonight on ACC Network and streaming live on the ESPN app.
And I hope the ladies have more success than the men so far.
Easy now. We got a night to go.
That's what I'm talking about.
All right.
When 2-6.
Yeah, I know. Not happy, right?
Nope, not good.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up. And that's what I'm going to try to do. Every minute that I have left, I will thank God for the day and the moment I have.
Hey, don't forget, it's V-Week at ESPN. Our partnership with the V Foundation highlights the urgent need for cancer research, the elimination of racial disparities in cancer outcomes. You can learn more and help support by visiting v.org/donate. 100% of your donation goes directly to cancer research. I think it was back in the early days of the old ACC Central radio program on Sirius XM 371. That I told you the story of Valvano coaching at NC State, and Jim and Pam, his widow, and my mom and dad became friends because their next-door neighbor was close friends with my parents. And when Valvano got the NC State job, he was one of the early Nike coaches. You remember that, right? Oh, yeah. Lefty Driesell, Valvano, those guys. So Jim told my dad, he said, Wes makes the basketball team. I'll give him a pair of shoes. And my dad goes, well, you don't have to do that. Oh, no, I want to. So Valvano got me a pair of Nike shoes. And in typical Valvano fashion, this is why I love Jim. He was unbelievable. He got the shoes, called my mom, and said, Wes needs to come pick up the shoes. And there's a note in the box that if he's ever going to wear these shoes, that note has to be addressed. So the note said, Wes, here are the shoes. Congratulations on making the team, so forth. In order for you to wear the shoes, your dad has to say on the air during the first Carolina State basketball game this year, my good friend Jim Valvano is the basketball coach at NC State. Now, is that Valvano?
That is absolutely Jimmy V.
Oh, my God. And my dad did say it on the air.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, and the Carolina people lost their mind. So, anyway, wonderful guy, inspiring human being.
Yeah.
And his legacy now, the wonderful 1983 championship game, the Houston, the Five Slamma Jamma, that kind of moment is a precursor to a legacy he's left us in cancer research. And for people like Dick Vitale, people like Stuart Scott, Dick Vitale with his urgent message of pediatric cancer with the V Foundation, Stuart Scott's legacy for cancer research and his fight too. And look, I understand it. As you said earlier, it touches everybody. One way or another, it touches everybody. But V-Week is certainly special to ESPN, certainly special to all of us involved in ACC Network because of what Jim did in this conference.
And every time I see that clip and that moment,
yeah,
he had the innate ability to understand the moment.
Oh, God.
He was one of the best I've ever seen at understanding the moment.
Yep.
Right. And whether he was coaching, whether you saw him in a speaking engagement, mm-hmm. whether you had any interaction with him, he just had that ability to connect with people.
Yeah.
And really an incredibly talented guy, but really a special, special person.
Been a tough two nights as we pivot to basketball, an event I know Valvano would have loved. Tough two nights in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. Tough night for top-ranked Duke last night.
Oof.
71-66 the final, and the Blue Devils hit the wall, quite frankly, in the second half. You know what? They had a lead.
They led by... Led by 13 at halftime.
Yeah.
They extended to 15 in the second half. But you know what? You go last 4.5 minutes, you don't score. Ohio State ends on a 12-zip run.
Yeah.
You're playing a true road game. And when you're number one, people get excited for you. And when you're number one and got D-U-K-E on the jersey,
they're really excited to
yeah. see you. And Coach K's last run, every time he goes on the road, people are going to be juiced up. And, hey, they walked in. And Ohio State, listen. That's a good club.
Yep.
Big Ten's a really good league. Always has been. I expected Duke to win the basketball game. They did not. That has been the theme the first two nights mm-hmm. of this challenge. It is 2-6 from an ACC perspective, 6-2 from a Big Ten perspective. But winning close games has been difficult. Wes, you had Wake Forest last night. Yeah. The Deacs won an overtime game. Syracuse won an overtime game against Indiana, which shouldn't have been, but they won it. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
But winning close games has not been fun the last couple nights in the ACC. It really hasn't. I mean, Virginia had a chance, right?
Yep.
Didn't get the job done against Iowa. Minnesota last night did it to Pittsburgh. We'll go through all these games. But, man, that close loss has fallen away from the ACC the first two nights.
Let's roll some video from the Dome last night. Buddy Boeheim, a season-high 27 last night. Trace Jackson-Davis was fantastic for the Hoosiers. He had 31-16. It's the first player in the last 25 years to put those numbers up for IU in a game, by the way. Buddy Bucket, so, okay, player, I see you. Guess what the Orange can do, friends? Score the basketball. And if they can score the basketball, they're going to be fine. The Knights, they don't score the basketball, trouble is afront. And there have been a couple of those. There have been a couple of those already.
Already, yeah.
Yeah.
3-3 going in the game last night. Syracuse jumped Indiana from the get-go. They were up 18 in the second half of this game. Indiana came back, took the lead. Guess what Syracuse did? They responded. They went up by 11 with just under 4 minutes to go. And then they could not hold the lead coming down the stretch. Goes to overtime. Kind of crazy how it got to that point.
Mm-hmm.
Fell behind by 4 in the second overtime period. And then went on a run to win the game on the free throw line. But kind of a crazy night last night at the Dome. As I pointed out, Syracuse's first double overtime win at home in over 50 years.
Oh, boy.
About that?
All right. Let's pivot and take you to Winston-Salem. The parquet floor of the Joel Coliseum last night. Jake LaRavia had 21. Alondis Williams had 21. Deacons beat Northwestern 77-73 in overtime. There's Williams at the head of the circle. Isaiah Musius, big bucket. A game of runs back and forth really most of the night. And then the last 4.5 minutes, it just got down and dirty for both. By the way, Northwestern went about 6 minutes. Last 2.5 of regulation and first really kind of 4 minutes of the overtime without a field goal. They were doing all their work at the free throw line. Big win, I think, for Steve Forbes' team who lost to LSU over the weekend. Wake is at Virginia Tech on Saturday afternoon. We mentioned Ohio State beating Duke. Purdue blew out Florida State. You said yesterday,
I told you,
Boilers are capable of winning the national championship. Caleb Mills, 22, a sidebar to a 28-point loss for Leonard Hamilton at Mackey Arena.
I think it may be the most underrated tough place to play in the country. Even when Purdue's not very good, it's a tough place to play. Mm-hmm. They are incredibly talented. It's a team that can win it all. I was not surprised that Purdue won the game. I was surprised they bombed them. Yeah. I mean, that was an absolute beatdown. Now, granted, I know there was two starters out for Florida State. That didn't help things, but, man, they got dominated inside. Purdue's got big size. I mean, they are large inside.
Yeah, they are.
And they can make threes. It's a tough matchup situation, but, you know, you just don't see Florida State get manhandled like that before. So, for Leonard and the boys, I think they get Syracuse this weekend to start ACC
play.
They
do. It's 4 o'clock right here.
That's an interesting matchup because, I mean, Syracuse can line it up from outside, and Florida State's got to get everybody healthy.
Yep.
Needless to say, that's a big matchup in the ACC, but that would have been tough for anybody in the league. I don't care if it was Duke, Florida State, you fill in the blank. Winning at Purdue, good luck.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen very often.
Clemson fought the Bear last night in Piscataway. Ron Harper Jr. had 23-9. The Tigers did not shoot it well at all from the floor for most of the night. They rallied in kind of the last 12 minutes, got it down to 4 at one point. Rutgers ends up winning 74-64. Collins had 18-10. David's been a nice surprise transfer from South Florida. Clemson at Miami Saturday at noon on ACC Network to open conference play.
It's kind of hard to put my arms around either one of those teams. But last night, I mean, Rutgers basically went on a run late first half and really just stayed that way. I mean, they got up about 8 and said, that's about where you're going to get. You might get to within 4 or 5, but we're going to beat you by 10, and that's what happened. Yep. So Rutgers gets the Tigers again. Remember, they knocked them out of the NCAA tournament and all that stuff. But, you know, it was a tough night for the league. I mean, you're looking around looking, hey, can we get some W's anywhere? Anybody going to get a win here?
No.
Need one. Need a bunch tonight.
John Hughley had 25-14 last night for Pittsburgh. They lost at the Horn to Minnesota.
Shouldn't have.
And here again, Pittsburgh needs something good to happen. Right? I mean, it's about – you're going to need something good to have happen here if you're the Panthers. They, by the way, play Virginia Friday night in Charlottesville. There's two ACC games Friday night. Notre Dame at Boston College, 6 o'clock. Pitt at Virginia, 8 o'clock here on ACC Network.
But you know what? Pitt led by 8 with about 10 minutes to go. It was a low-scoring game, kind of ugly, to be honest with you. Neither team was making a shot. But an 8-point lead felt like a 20-point lead, given the inability for anybody to make a shot or score.
Right.
And next thing you know, you're up 53-50 with 3 minutes to go, and you just didn't close. And we have unfortunately seen that a few times by ACC teams here the first two nights. The ability to win the game, can you close? The answer, unfortunately, has been no too often. So 2-6 heading into tonight, Wes. The ACC not – hey, the league's got to sweep to win this challenge. You got to sweep. You go 5-1, it turns out to be the split that you thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
At this rate, 5-1 seems like, man, can you find 5 tonight? Just ask it.
All right, it's the final night of the men's challenge, first night of the women's challenge. Let's roll the schedule. Here's the look at the men. You see we got the doubleheader on the Deuce, doubleheader on ESPN, and a single game at 7:15 on ESPNU. Miami and Penn State available on the app tonight from State College. Louisville, Michigan State at the Breslin Center, followed by Michigan, Carolina. Virginia Tech at Maryland, followed by Whiskey at Georgia Tech tonight at McCamish Pavilion.
Got that right?
Bobby Crimmins Court is what it's getting ready to be.
That's right. On that list, though, Wes, of the 6 games for the men, give me a realistic number of W's on that list. Just heading into it. Forget that it's 2-6 overall, but 6 games tonight.
I'm going to take Miami.
Okay.
NC State.
Okay.
And I think the flu bug has cleared things in Atlanta. I'll go Georgia Tech on Wisconsin.
So you like those 3?
I like those 3, and I also like Virginia Tech at Maryland, I think.
So that's 4.
I might like 4 of them tonight.
Wow, okay.
I need you feeling better about basketball.
Listen, I love basketball.
I know. I want you to feel better about it.
I would like to feel much better about ACC basketball.
That's what I'm saying.
I tell you, November was not a kind month. No. I'm gonna be completely transparent with you.
Yeah.
Duke's number one, or at least going to be for a few more days. Yeah. Before the next AP poll comes out, tonight could be another crazy night.
All right, women's schedule here quickly also begins tonight on the ACC Network. You've got Rutgers and Pitt at 6 o'clock, Ohio State, Syracuse, 8 o'clock. You see the remainder of the schedule. You see all the games, by the way, on the app, which is awesome. Looking forward to that. Georgia Tech at Purdue, Nell Fortner, North Carolina visits Minnesota with Courtney Banghart's team on the road, and Kenny Brooks' squad's at Wisconsin tonight. So there you go. That's night one. And Jen Hoover, who was part of the donut brigade this morning, including sugar cakes. Thanks to David Ridings, the Carter family, all these people that gave stuff to me to bring to Packer this morning.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.